ever needed. Lord, you're all I want. Oh, and help me know you are near. Oh, you're all I want. Yes, and you're all I ever needed. Lord, you're all I want. Oh, and help me know you are near. Let's sing it one more time with all of our heart. Oh, God, say you're all I want. You're all I ever needed, and you're all I ever needed. You're all I want, you're all I want. Help me to know, help me know you are near. Oh, help me to know, help me know you are near. You will never leave me nor forsake me. Help me to know, help me know you are near. Let's just praise him. Bless his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, how grateful we are to come into your house tonight. We're blessed to be able to sit at your feet, to hear your voice speak to us. God, as we just prepare to enter into this lesson, we trust that the Spirit of God would go before us, and that you, God, would just begin to minister to our hearts and to our needs, prepare our hearts to receive from you tonight. Thank you for everyone that has arrived. Those, God, that are still on the way, give traveling mercies to those that would join us online. We pray that you would just be with them and, God, speak to them. Those that are unable to be with us tonight, Lord, look upon them as well. We're careful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And I thought it was very divine that we would be entering this chapter right at the beginning of this year. The Lord has declared that this is the year of the incredible. And when we look at Hebrews 11, we see a number of incredible things that occurred in Scripture. And so, you know, we'll take our time and go through this. But let's read, amen, a little bit from this, and we'll get started in our study. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Also, verse 5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. So before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Praise the Lord. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place, into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. I love that. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Amen. So it's by faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I think this is a really, really wonderful chapter just to kind of start the year off. And I'm looking forward to this journey through Hebrews 11. Let's just, we'll go to our first slide here. Prophet makes a statement, you can't make yourself believe. It's something, it's a quality that's in you. Faith is the substance, not just to make imaginary. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you believe and you don't see. And I love this. This is not a, you know, sometimes I think we have a learned behavior when it comes to, you know, church and just, you know, how you handle yourself and conduct yourself amongst Christians, around Christians. You have a learned behavior. But oftentimes it's only when you start going through your personal trials is when you really begin to recognize whether your faith is anchored or not, right? And God has a way of just allowing you to go through some things to really see if your faith is there, right? So, you know, and faith is something, you know, that each one got to have for himself. You can't depend on your neighbor. You can't depend on mom. Can't depend on dad. God doesn't have grandchildren. He has only children. So each one has to have faith for themselves. And you have to come into that. So he says it's not something imaginary, right? It's substance, not just make. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you believe in and you don't see. And all the whole Christian armor now, remember, is by faith. All supernatural love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, patience, that's all unseen things. That's the whole Christian armor. The Christian always looks at things that he does not see. I like that statement. The Christian always looks at things that he does not see. Praise God. We need to make sure that sinks in. I mentioned on Sunday, the scripture says we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. The problem has been is that we've been walking by sight and not by faith. God wants to reverse that. Amen. The Christian should look at things that he does not see because he's looking at a promise. Praise God. Look at things that you cannot see because you're looking at a promise. All Christians should do that. Amen. All right, let's look at this. Next for me, please. With this whole chapter, I did not do the key statements for the whole chapter. I just did enough to get us kind of through the next couple of weeks. But these are things I need you to kind of grab a hold of. Prophet made a statement here. Says, "No, I won't start there, because I'll be there for 2 years in this one. Each one of those, they're heroes of faith." You know, now the reason that this is a key statement to me, as we were coming out of Hebrews 10, I was looking at Hebrews 11, and I was telling you all, say, this one is one I just feel like preaching. I mean, you start going through Hebrews 11, and you just get inspired, and you just want to preach about all of them. Well, Brother Branham was saying that he was doing the Hebrews series. He come to Hebrews chapter 10, and when he got to Hebrews 11, he said he looked at it. And when he looked at it, he said, "No, I ain't touching that." He says, "I won't start there." He says, "Because I'll be there for 2 years." He said he could take the story of Enoch and preach about 3 weeks on Enoch, right? And he said, "You have to go in when you're dealing with this chapter, so you got to go and you can't just breeze through it. You got to go back in the scripture and pull it all back together, right? And he said, I'll be there for 2 years on this one chapter. Brother Branham said he'd be there for 2 years. I said, now, see, I was struggling with how I was going to approach this, but I see I wasn't the only one struggling. The prophet had struggles with this same chapter. You get inspired by this. You get inspired. And I believe, I absolutely believe that this is timely. Amen, for our church as we go through this. He says, I won't start there because I'll be there for 2 years. And this one, each one of those, they're heroes of faith, you know, because each one of them got a story to tell. Each one. All right, let's go next. All right. Let's see here. He says, see, if you had perfect faith, you look right straight to God and believe it and walk away. Now, we're going to talk about that because it's a substance. He said, if you had perfect faith, you look right straight to God and believe it. Walk away. We'll go a little deeper in that in a second. It says, mortals living here, now they are either influenced from this way or from that way. You cannot be here, a spiritual being, sinner, a saint, without having an influence from the underworld or from the above world. If you're influenced from here, you're from above. Your celestial body is waiting up here, but if you're wicked and hypocritical and indifferent, your celestial body is down here, regardless of how much you think it's up there, because the fruit that you bear before people proves where you're from. And we're going to get into that as well. You know, the scripture said through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. So he's just talking a little bit here about the underworld, or, amen, we also have the above world. But he says the fruit that you bear before people proves where you're from. Amen. That's going to be important. We'll go a little deeper in that, amen, in the lessons to come. And this other one I want to kind of bring to you, gifts must be confirmed. Anyone can say anything they wish to, and they can have impressions. But when God really sends something, he will vindicate that to be the truth, right? And we just read that in verse 4, it said God was testifying of his gifts, right? So, you know, you have some people that truly have a gift. They were called by God. I like to say it like this. Some were truly sent. Others just got up and went. Amen. Everybody is not called. They might have impressions, but does not mean that they're called. And what happens is that God testifies of his gifts. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God will testify of his gifts. Glory to God. All right. Okay. So let's look at this. Amen. We're going to kind of focus here on Hebrews 11. 1, just for a little bit. It says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And I just want to just kind of bring a couple quotes in on this one, if we can. A little statement the prophet makes says, now others have people come say, oh, I got all faith. Oh, I sure have. Well, what are you standing here for then? And what he's talking about is standing in the prayer line. If you had faith, you wouldn't even stand in the prayer line. Oh, my God. The prophet says, I got all faith. Oh, I sure have. Well, what are you standing here for then? See, your very actions prove you haven't got what you're talking about. See, if you had faith, then what you stand in the prayer line for, see, what you do these things for. Now, I think we got to make sure we balance that. I was reading a man a little earlier in the Bible, and I didn't catch this in scripture before. And actually, if you could, just go to the quotes, but those of you that are sitting here present, just turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 5 real quick. I want to balance this statement out, and because I've seen, you know, this, I'm sorry, Luke 4. We know that the prophet had prayer lines. We know that he laid hands on people, they were healed. We know that some people might have received spoken word that never even came into the prayer line, but their faith pulled the angel from the prayer line out to the audience. We know there's been many ways that God has healed. But I was looking at this Luke 4:40 because I said, well, Jesus himself had a prayer line, right? And you can see it here. Now, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and they laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So prayer lines are scriptural, right? They're scriptural. And so God uses multiple ways to actually bring healing to people. I've seen people would take this one quote and they will refuse to get into a prayer line because they say, well, I got faith. I don't need to be touched by nobody. Right. And that's nobody's going to lay, anything in your way if that's the way that you want to handle it. But you don't necessarily have to criticize the other people that do decide to get in the prayer line. Jesus had a prayer line. Amen. God uses multiple ways to bring healing to his people. But I've seen people condemn folk for getting in the prayer line. Amen. Right. And we don't want to be that way. Right. We want to make sure that we have a balance with that. There was some in Jesus' day, you remember Jairus, his faith said, come to my house and see my daughter. That was Jairus' faith. And you know what Jesus did? Responded to Jairus' faith. He went to Jairus' house. But on his way to Jairus' house, there was another lady with faith. She said, if I could just touch him, I know he can't come to my house. Right? I can't even go to church with my condition. But if I could just touch him, touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. That was her faith, and Jesus honored that faith. The centurion said, I'm not worthy that you even come to my house. That's why I sent some of your people to come get you and bring you. Say, don't even worry about coming to the house, but if you just speak the word, my servant will be made whole. That was his faith, and Jesus said, I ain't found no greater faith than this. In all honesty, the centurion's faith is our faith, because the centurion was Gentile. That's what Gentile faith is. Amen. It's spoken word. Glory to God. But I'm not going to criticize somebody because they stand in the prayer line. Amen. Sometimes we would have a service where we're encouraging you to bring the sick. Amen. And what would it be like you encouraging all the bring the sick, and maybe you don't witness to somebody and they know that you got a similar condition to what they got. You bring them to church, but you refuse to get in the prayer line, but you're going to push them up there. No, you don't do that. Get in the prayer line. It might make them feel a little bit more comfortable. Amen. Let's bring balance to these things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I've seen people quote that quote, and they sick as I don't know what. They don't want nobody to lay hands on them. If I got faith, I'm not going to get in the prayer line. Wait. Make sure you bring balance on that. Amen. The Bible does say, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover too. All right. Glory to God. All right. So let's, I want to read some quotes on this. I don't want to just breeze through these things. I want us to really try to get this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's some quotes here, amen, in our Word document. Let's see here. I'm reading from the Message Perseverance. The prophet says this. This little woman, she was a Greek from the country of Syrophoenicia. We find out that she must have heard about the praises and glory of the Lord Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. She heard, and when she heard, faith finds sources that others don't see. Oh, my God. Faith finds sources that others don't see. Now, if you don't have faith, well, then there's no need of trying to show it to you, because faith can see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith sees what blind people don't see. Now, that's a very important statement to me. Faith sees what blind people don't see. Now, if you've ever had, the opportunity to work with somebody that was blind, because you can see, you can actually give them a view of the world that you see. They've seen it actually through your eyes. You might help them cross the street because you can see the car coming, right? You can see the danger. Hey, there's a step coming there. So, all right, take it easy. Step down. Do this, do that. And you're guiding them and leading them based on what you see with your eyes. They don't have the privilege to be able to see what you see, right? So your actions and your responses are based on what, based on your ability. And it's the same thing it is spiritually. If God reveals something to you, your actions and your responses and everything is based on what God has shown you. And you can't get mad at a blind person. You can't argue with a blind person. You can't fuss and fight with a blind person. They can't see. And typically, amen, if they're naturally blind like that, you tend to have a little bit more patience with them. Come on, somebody. And it should be the same way spiritually. When you got a real revelation, something that God has shown you, you ain't got to argue with nobody. Oh, my God. You ain't got to fight over that, right? I'm trying to get you to see this. No, they blind to it right now. Until God anoints their eyes to see, you got to be patient. I'm talking about when it's real faith. I'm not talking about something made up. I'm talking about something God done really showed you. And when you see it, you can be patient. Oh, come on, church. He says, faith sees what the blind people doesn't see. Faith is the sixth sense. Five senses are fine as long as they don't disagree with the sixth. But the sixth sense is faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. You don't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear, but you know it. Faith tells you so, and it's so sure that it's real, that it comes to you a substance, not just imagination. It's something you have. Now, we just read this in our reading here. I believe it was Abraham that went looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And I forget exactly what I want to just. Oh yeah, he went out not knowing whither he went. Now I want to. Can you imagine Abraham going out not knowing whither he went? There's no need to use a GPS. There's no need to punch in an address. I don't know where I'm going. What I'm doing is walking by faith. Because oftentimes, and I got to just sit and just, we got to talk about this. Oftentimes we got this thing so planned out. And if you got a plan, you don't need faith. You understand? You got it already worked out. You don't need faith. God not just trying to fit in where you allow him. God wants to lead. God wants to be in control of the whole process. I mean, and if God not going to be in control, we really can't call it faith, right? When a lot of times, and I'm saying it because I know sometimes, When husbands and wives, something come up and, man, we got to walk by faith. Sometimes the wife want to know, well, how are we going to do that? You didn't get it. We are doing this by faith. And when we're doing it by faith, there really is no explanation because I don't know which way I'm going. I can't plug this in the GPS. I don't know which way I'm going. I'm trusting God, and I believe what he told me is that I won't be made ashamed. We're going to have to do this thing together. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. As we approach this year of the incredible, we're going to have to approach it with faith. And faith, a faith that can't explain nothing. God, I just see a promise and I'm holding on to it. Amen, church. And you know how we get, now did God tell you? If you say that God told you, now you know you still don't believe it if they say God told them. You know you don't believe it. You know you don't, because you'll be back a week later with plan B. I thought you was, no. Church, this is faith. Faith is not something that you can explain. Faith is not something you can feel. Faith is not something you can see. Faith is just faith. I like this. And if you're blind, ask God to give you some sight. Open your eyes so you can see where he want to take you. And I'm gonna tell you another thing about God. He don't show you the whole process. The reason he don't show you the whole process, because he wants you to walk by faith. Let me keep reading here. You don't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear, but yet you know it. Faith tells you so. And it's so sure that it's real, that it comes to you a substance, not just imagination, something you have. I see people come on the platform, say, Brother Branham, I've got all faith. Well, what are you doing up here? Then see, I don't have it. But there, when anything, let's see, it goes on and says, you've had things to happen, you just knew it was going to be. Yet you didn't know how it was going to be, but it was going to be. That's that faith. That's real faith. It's going to happen then when you know that it's going to be. Now, faith finds a source that others don't see. Now, notice that faith finds the source that others don't see. His word is a sword. The Bible said so in Hebrews 4:12 that it is a sword, but it takes an arm of faith to wield that sword. Only faith can do it. Hold the sword. All right, he goes on in another sermon here, perseverant. And notice the titles, perseverance or perseverant. You got to hold on by faith. Let me just forewarn you of some things. You probably will not pray. And after you pray, the answer is right there. That only happens sometimes. That does not happen all the time. Because if it happened that way for you all the time, then your patience would never be perfected. So there are some times where you are going to simply have to hold on. All right? Look at this message, perseverance. When a man gets his answer from God, there is nothing going to stop him. Most people today, as I will repeat myself from last night, saying they have hope instead of faith. You find people coming on the platform, they're just built up in hopes. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence is not a myth. It's not imagination. It's something you got. You already got it, and you're just as happy with it, that faith that you have, as you would be if you had the substance in your hand. For instance, like this, if I'm starving to death and a loaf of bread costs a quarter, which will buy the loaf of bread. Now, when I have the quarter in my hand, I'm just as happy as if it was the loaf of bread, because it's the purchase price of the bread. Amen. And when I know in my heart that I've accepted it and I believe that God has given it to me, I'm just as happy with that faith as if I was healed, because I'm going to be healed anyhow. I've got the substance right now. Nobody can take it away from me. I know it's right, and I can be perseverant with that. Amen. He goes on a little further. When God tells something that's going to happen, like the visions of something, I've seen tens of thousands of them, and many of you are witnesses, and not one of them has ever failed. And when God says anything, if he would say tonight, go to the National Cemetery, for I am going to raise up George Washington in the morning, I'd invite the whole world, come watch it. It's going to happen. God's word can't fail. He has never failed, and he can't fail. There is one thing God can't do, and that's fail. He cannot fail, and God is it. God is his word. And I was listening recently just to, I believe, Man Running from the Presence of God, and there was another sermon I can't remember right now after it. But on one of those tapes, Brother Branham made the comment. He said, you know, we started, we needed to build a tabernacle. And when we started to build the tabernacle, we had 80 cents in our pocket. 80 cents. And they built the church. Now, that took some faith. But you can see with 80 cents, that let you know God was doing the thing. It wasn't anything that man did. On the way, God would send people, you know, with this and with that. But you start with 80 cents, you know God did it. And when I thought about that, I said, God, if you can build the tabernacle with 80 cents, what can you do with us? Amen. Praise God. All right, he goes on this message, perfect faith. He says, now faith is a substance, and by it we understand all of those things are done. It's not an imagination, it's a substance, especially perfect faith. He says, that's what I'm talking on tonight. Getting to perfect faith is not an imagination. Now, others have people come, I got faith. Sure, I have. Well, what are you standing here for? See, your very actions prove that you haven't got what you're talking about. See, if you have faith, then what you stand in the prayer line for? See, what do you do these things for? And see, again, that's a person coming through the prayer line declaring that, you know, they got it's a certain way to approach it. Well, I got faith. Well, you got it. Well, sit down, right? If you don't really need anything, just sit down. Praise God. But for people that say, no, I really need something. I need God. And maybe you might want to approach it this way. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Amen. Listen, it says, see, if you had perfect faith, you look right straight to God and believe it and walk away. You would have no need of coming into a prayer line. You have no need of these things because your faith has done made it so. See, why? What would be the use of me saying I got to put a shirt on? I got a shirt on. How do you know you got a shirt on? Well, I see it, feel it, and I know it's there. Well, that's just how real that when perfect faith takes hold, you don't need no more. It's already done. You know it. How do you know it? Faith tells me so. That's it. See, do you get it now? What I mean? That's perfect faith. Now, you know, I want to just kind of inject a couple things here. Brother Branham gave some testimonies here. Oh my, I'm not going to do that. Y'all bear with me. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Let's keep reading this. It says, now, in other words, I'm venturing out. Well, I'll go. The Bible said, call the elders, let them anoint with oil, pray over it. I know I'll go up and you say, well, I'm going to be healed. See, you're making yourself, you don't watch now. You're going to make yourself just worked up. Then when he passed through, he say, oh, I still don't see. See, there you was. You didn't have faith. Your genuine faith will do it right there. Your genuine faith will make it so real. Look at the little woman with the blood. She said, if I could only touch the border of his garment, I'll be made well. I'll be made well. And as soon as she did it, she said, felt within herself that her blood issue stopped. She actually believed it. And when she touched it, to prove that it stopped, Jesus turned and said, who touched me? That perfect faith and that same perfect faith tonight will touch Jesus Christ just as it did then. The woman come with a perfect faith for that time. Now, here's some just a few testimonies. Let me see if I'm going to have to skip some of it, but I'll share it with you anyway. This was a greater witness. He says, these handkerchiefs are marvelous things. And I got, you know, just one here in my Bible. These prayer cloths, if you all, I think some of you all have the prayer cloth that Brother Branham prayed over. And this lady, you know, got a hold of a prayer cloth. And look at what happened. Says, these handkerchiefs are marvelous things, not for your mailing address, no friends. See, we're not just trying to get mailing addresses. No friends. We just answer letters. We don't want it for mailing addresses or do anything away from your church. Our purpose is for you to be loyal to your church of your choice. Now, you know, you can imagine people are getting mailing addresses and taking advantage of the people. Once they got your mailing address, they can pretty much, that was the first form of spam, if I can put it that way. They would send send mail to you to try to get donations, right? And they just flood you with it. Amen. Listen, he says that wasn't his purpose for doing it. He says, our purpose is for you to be loyal to your church, church of your choice. That's what I want you to be. But if you do need a handkerchief, just write me. I'll send it to you absolutely free. We send thousands and thousands of them. Here recently, a woman in Germany received one, put it on her bosom. She was sitting with arthritis in a wheelchair. She said, now, devil, you get out of this building. Got right up and walked away. See, that's it. See, that woman had perfect faith. Right? She had faith, and, you know, the prophet prayed over this prayer cloth. I'm putting this prayer cloth where I'm hurting, and I'm getting up out of this wheelchair. Nobody laid hands on her. That lady had perfect faith. Praise God. I'm going to have to kind of skip this one. This is also in greater witness, but what he's talking about, amen, in this particular, I'm going to slip down. Let me just tell you where I'm going. In that, on that document, if you get down to the Living Jesus Christ, it's going to be paragraph E23. It's going to be in bold as well as underlined. And I'm just going to just kind of share a couple other testimonies. In this message here that I just read out of A Great Witness, the next testimony that Brother Bram's going to share was the young lady that was in Arkansas and went down there to get into the prayer line so that she could get healed of being blind. You know, she was struggling with that, and, you know, and she heard that Brother Branham was in the town, and her father and her got down there, and they went to the meeting. They just wanted to be prayed for. And while the young lady was there at the meeting, somehow she got disconnected from her daddy. And she was just, at that time it was segregation. So, you know, here she was just kind of talking and, daddy, 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 you know, calling for a daddy, and nobody would help her find a daddy. And Brother Branham heard her, just daddy, daddy, daddy. And he's like, you know what, I got to get over there. So some of the brothers said, no, Brother Branham, you can't go over there. We got segregation. You can't. He said, I feel the Spirit of God telling me to go over there, and I don't care nothing about no segregation. I'm going over there. And he got himself right in the girl's way, just, you know, and she couldn't see him. She didn't know nothing. All he heard her say was, daddy, daddy, daddy. And as she was, you know, there saying that, Brother Branham said, so you lost? He said, yeah, I just need to find my daddy. And he said, well, where are you from? And he found out where she was from and looked up and saw a bus. And he was like, well, maybe we can get her back to the bus. Maybe your daddy be there. And she said, yeah, my daddy brought me down here to be prayed for, you know, and I just believe that if I was prayed for, you know, I was going to be healed. The doctor said this and the doctor said that. They said they would operate. Now they can't operate. And, you know, I just believe if I got to the healer, man, I'd be all right. And he said, well, you don't believe that. You don't believe by getting to the healer, man, you're going to be all right. He said, she said, yeah, if you get me to the healer, man, I'll find my own daddy. And Brother Branham said just something struck him. That girl said that just something struck him. And, you know, when he heard that, he said, you know, I can pretty much, he kind of told her, I can pray for you. She said, are you the healer man? He said, no, I'm not the healer man. Jesus is the healer man. He said, but I am Brother Branham. She said, oh, and she grabbed a hold of him. She couldn't see him, but she grabbed a hold of whatever she could. She said she wasn't going to let him go. She's like, you pray for me, I'll find my own daddy. And he said, now, ma'am, I just need you to just kind of relax a little bit and, you know, pull your arms down just a little bit and just relax, and we'll pray for you right here. And Brother Branham prayed for that girl, and right there immediately them scales came off her eyes, and that girl found her own daddy. Her faith was just like the woman with the issue of blood. I tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you. If we would stop approaching church out of tradition, we'll see God do some things. Her faith was that if I can get to the healer man, just like the woman said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, that girl said, if I can get to the healer man, I find my own daddy. I guarantee you I find my own daddy. She had confidence that once the prayer of faith was made over her, it was going to be over. We need that. This next little testimony, there was a, I won't read the, like I say, all of it. We'll just read a part of it. This is out of the sermon, Living Jesus Christ and What Had Happened. And this, there, Brother Branham went amongst some Indians. And now I want you to imagine this, because it challenged me when I was reading the testimony. He said the Indians were smoking pipes during his service. Now I wonder how many of us would still be able to go on and have service while the Indians are sitting there smoking their pipes. I mean, most of us be like, the devil's a liar. You got to put that pipe down. No, he didn't do none of that. He preached the gospel, and then he asked to pray for the sick, if anybody's sick, to come on up. And what happened, many of them just kind of refused to come up. No, they didn't want to move. They didn't want to do nothing. So finally, one person got up and moved, and God did something for him. And I was like, okay, something to this. And then another one got up and moved, and God did something for them. Another one got up. So the next thing you know, that line got so long, everybody was coming to get prayed for. And I'm going to read you about this one lady. The anointing got so great. They first wouldn't move, but I'm going to read you about this one lady that came. But, you know, after she came, I'll just tell you this, you know. No, actually, I'll read that. But, you know, she came up, and this kind of what she did. Let's look at this. It says, looked at her like that, and he's talking about this older lady. It says, looked at her like that, her old dark eyes looked up to me like that. She kind of smiled, reached around, and got a hold of one cane. So she's coming up with a cane. And the other one, each one of them sticks. She's got crutches pretty much that she's walking up with. Each one of them sticks and handed them over to me and straightened up and went walking off the platform like that. No prayer at all. That lady had perfect faith. When she just passed by, I believe he said she was, let me see. I don't know if he gave her age, but she was an elderly woman. And as she was just, you know, that when the anointing came, she walked up on the platform while the anointing was there, and she just handed Brother Branham her canes, whatever the call them sticks, because that's really what they were, but crutches that she had. She just, Brother Branham, here go my crutches. You don't even got to pray for me. Walked off the platform, healed. That's perfect faith. Handed them over to me and straightened up and went and walking off the platform like that. No prayer at all. No prayer at all. Just believed. And brother, you talk about a prayer line. Along about 3 or 4 o'clock that morning, I done quit talking about discernment, just letting them come through and laying hands on them. I seen them coming through. They was wet way up around like this. And I said, well, what's the matter? Now, you know, he's going on and this because here at 4 o'clock in the morning, these people coming through the prayer line and they all wet. Like, what happened? Say, what happened is that some of the folk left the meeting, went back to their tribes. And they say, y'all got to get to the service. You got to get there before this man leave. You got to get there. And as they were, you know, bringing the people there, say, now you ain't got time to go all the way down and try to cross the bridge and all that. We got to walk across this water. And by faith, they walking across the water. So this one guy, you know, got his daddy, him and his brothers, they bringing the daddy up on a stretcher and everything, and they walk across the water. And Brother Branham looked at him like, you know, hey, don't you, He said, don't you think you're going to catch like a pneumonia or something like that? He said, no, Jesus will take care of me. I'm not worried about me. This for my daddy. And I'm here for my daddy. Don't worry about me. I'm here for my daddy. So they say, Brother Branham, you know, see the boys bringing their daddy up and daddy can barely move. I'm talking about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, y'all. Got daddy on the stretcher and when Brother Branham just prayed for the man. They passed by and they prayed for the man. And as he was being prayed for, they went to the other side to walk off the stage. And as they were walking off the stage, Brother Branham said he heard a loud noise. See, the old man was off the stretcher with the stretcher on his shoulder carrying it. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right. I tell you what, this is what faith is all about. It can't be explained, but when God has anchored something in your heart, no, something's going to happen when I get to that meeting. Something is going to happen. I'm going to meet God when I get to that meeting. Something is bound to happen. If we come to church like that, I guarantee God will meet us here. And not only meet us here, whatever you're going through in your own personal life, if you would grab a hold of faith, and I tell you, see, there's multiple ways that God speaks. The prophet made a statement. He says, sometimes God can give you a vision, and with a vision, you move out with that. Sometimes, you know, you might have a thus saith the Lord, and you get that, like a prophet speak, thus saith the Lord, you know, for sure it's happening. And then sometimes it might be just a scripture that God give you. And all you can do is hold on to that scripture. Amen. Either way, God will move on it. But you got to be willing to just hold to what God said. So sometimes if it's something just in your life, make sure you're reading the word of God. God can speak. What happens to me is that I might be reading a particular chapter. And I done read the Bible many times, but all of a sudden, it seemed like at that time I read that verse, and like a heavenly highlight was on that verse. It's like, man, it just rises up out the pages of the Bible, and it speaks to your innermost being. You know that's God talking to you. Amen. Sometimes, I mean, like when I heard the prophet say they started to build a church with 80 cents, I yelled out, glory, amen. I said, if God can do that for the Branham Tabernacle, that same God can do it for Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. 80 cents. Amen. God know how to take your 80 cent and multiply it. Praise God. Right? So sometimes God will anoint your faith. Just little things here and there. But when you're walking by faith, church, it's not something that you can explain. But it's also not something that's not your imagination. It's real. That's why the scriptures say it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and by that, By it, the elders obtain a good report. It's by faith. It's by faith. Everybody we're going to talk about in these next, amen, studies, these are people that did some things by faith. And you know what? If we were living back in that time, the only way we would have had our name registered here in the Heroes of Faith chapter is we would have had to overcome something by faith. So whatever you got in front of you, embrace it and let your faith make you victorious. Praise God. Amen. I'll stop there because I know the next part will take us through something else. So we'll stop there for tonight. Just to make sure I didn't leave this. Yes. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for how the Holy Spirit has aligned the beginning of this year to have us, Lord, study in this chapter in Hebrews 11. It's going to take faith this year. Faith is something that cannot be explained. It can't be seen, felt, touched, heard. And God, the five senses will go against it. But faith is that sixth sense. And what we have to do is bring our five senses in line with the sixth sense, and we'll see incredible things happen. God, we are under expectation. We are believing you, God, for big things, huge things. And God, is going to be faith that brings that thing to pass. We realize that. So there are things that happen in our life, Lord, that are opportunities for us to exercise our faith. Help us, Lord, to remain faithful and true. As we even learned tonight, sometimes when we're seeing something that others can't see, we have to be patient. That's a real sincere revelation. We can be patient with others because they're not able to see it just yet. But we're believing you, God, that you would open up the sight of each one, that they would be able to embrace what you have before them and before us. That we'd all, Father, unite with faith, oh God, believing you to do the impossible. Thank you, Lord, for this journey that you have us on. And thank you, Lord, for the incredible things that you'll do as we embrace, amen, this year. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's prepare for tonight's offering. We have a couple of announcements here that we will make mention of.